WTAW News Time is 8:05. It's 40 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe, your one-stop steel supply store on Highway 21 East in Bryan. Go to pioneerboys.com. Good morning, I'm Patrick Zeinert. The Bryan School District spends about $250,000 a month to heat and cool its buildings. Operations manager Steve Peterson asked the school board this week to create a position where someone monitors electric and natural gas consumption on a full-time basis. That would expand efforts the last several months to reduce energy costs. One example given by Peterson explained why the air conditioning wasn't working inside the Civic Auditorium.
Instead of having those people come through the front doors for that event, where we have a set of front doors and there's another set of doors protecting the auditorium, they opened up the back doors and had them come in. Well, that broke the seal of the air conditioning. We lost all our air conditioned air. So we have made a rule that when you have something in the Civic Auditorium, they need to come through the front doors.
No action was taken on the proposal, which calls for an annual salary of $50,000 and another $35,000 in startup expenses. The presentation did not include how much Bryan ISD could save. At least two investigations are underway regarding an unlicensed auto salvage yard just outside the west city limits of Bryan. Brazos County Commissioners held a public hearing 2 weeks ago about the operator of the car crushing business. County Judge Dwayne Peters says the applicant doesn't have the proper permits from the county and state.
If there's a criminal offense, and I don't know that there was any criminal offense created, but the sheriff's office would do that investigation portion of it, and Road and Bridge does the application side of it.
Peters says among the opponents who spoke at the public hearing were the developers of more than 600 homes across the road from the salvage yard.
And in fact, it will be directly across the road from what has already been platted as the park for that subdivision.
Peters expects commission action in the next few weeks on the salvage yard requests, the first since new regulations were passed last year. Last October, Texas A&M system officials were in Israel announcing plans to locate a branch campus of the flagship university in Nazareth. In December, the Native American and Indigenous Studies Association joined a boycott of academic institutions in Israel.
The Austin American Statesman reports the association's annual conference will be held later this year in Austin. Co-sponsors include the A&M College of Liberal Arts and the University of Texas. You can read more about the association and its boycott online at WTAW.com. There's been no comment from A&M or the system on the boycott or participating in the conference. Statesman reports UT is contributing $15,000 to the conference, and President Bill Powers has denounced the boycott as an attack on academic freedom. Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
College Station police report a deadly weapon used in an aggravated assault was a 6-inch ceramic bowl. The victim told officers the bowl broke after she was hit in the face. She was treated at a local hospital for a broken bone and a deep cut. Police say the woman's boyfriend, 25-year-old Mario Yaks of College Station, was arrested the day after the event, which took place Tuesday night on Texas Avenue south of Brothers. WTAW News Time is 8:08. It's 39 degrees. This look at news brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe. More news at 8:30 or anytime on our website at WTAW.com. I'm Patrick Zeinert, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
As a proud supporter of Texas A&M Athletics and a family-owned and operated business since 1943, Pioneer Steel prides itself in providing the highest quality products for your steel, pipe, roofing, and metal building needs. Whether you need pipe for fencing at your ranch, a structural metal building package, or a metal roof for your home, trust the experts at Pioneer Steel. Pioneer Steel, Highway 21 East, call 979-589-2333 or visit pioneerboys.com today.
Dixie Tire Company in downtown Bryan has the best set of tires to fit your vehicle and your pocketbook. For a complete line of tires in stock, stop by Dixie Tire Company on William Joel Bryant or call them at 775-8473. That's 775-TIRE.
If you or your loved one is considered homebound under the care of a physician and needs assistance with either skilled nursing or therapy service, call Thrive Home Healthcare. Aggie-owned and operated, Thrive Home Healthcare provides an excellent, cost-effective medical care alternative for patients and their families. Thrive serves the 9-county area, including offices in Brenham, Belleville, Burton, and Hempstead, and has on-call nursing staff available 24 hours a day. Thrive Home Healthcare, helping others thrive. Call 846-1213 for qualifications and more information.
8:09, Brazos Valley weather forecast. It's brought to you this morning by Barker's Heating and Cooling. They offer a loaner program. If you can get home and your unit's down, give them a call. They'll come out there and they'll Connect one up while they fix yours. 690-2278. Here's some very good numbers.
Sunny and milder weather gets a chance to build across the region, and that's going to be responsible for a much more pleasant day today. We'll have temperatures up close to 60 with all that sunshine. It'll be clear, not as cool tonight, lows 40 to 45. Sunshine and even warmer weather during the day tomorrow, highs near 70. Tomorrow night, clear skies, lows will fall back to about 40 to 45. Saturday, abundant sunshine with highs on Saturday around 70. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
There you go. It's 8:10. Mary Lynn Stroud is here this morning from the city of Bryan. How are you today?
I am doing great. How are you, Scott?
Good. Appreciate you coming in this morning. And you brought the sunshine with you. So
I did.
You can take credit for that. That'll be fine. We're going to have you play Jethro Trivia. You've done this before, haven't you?
I have done it before. I'm not very good at it.
That's right. You know, the thing is there are no prizes and, you know, there are no penalties if you're wrong. But here we go. It's Jethro Trivia. It's our oddly informative little package. Today, it's the power of broadband, the power of broadband. Last week, a man came under fire for offering what service via Skype? Was it A, house cleaning, B, a confessional, C, an exorcism, or D, CPR? Once again, a man came under fire for offering what service via Skype? Was it house cleaning? Was it a confessional? Was it exorcism? Was it CPR? Patrick, you're first.
Exorcism.
All right. Kevin.
I'm going to say the same, exorcism.
Okay. You want to make it unanimous? You want to go with something else?
Oh, I'm going to say confessional.
All right. Well, it was exorcism, as a matter of fact. For $300, Bob Larson would rid your demons right there in the comfort of your own home.
The power of Skype compels you.
I guess. He's performed more than 20,000 exorcisms over the last 30 years. But now, he says, you know, that camera-friendly combination of scripture, sympathy, and screaming a lot causes him to be able to do that. For now, the International Catholic Association of Exorcists, and again, didn't know they had that group, said that this can't work because the demon would, quote, throw the computer across the room. That is what they said, that the demon would throw the computer across the room, so...
I'm just speechless.
There you are. Okay. So, 8:12, but...
Devil got your tongue?
Yeah.
I was hoping somebody'd pick up on that.
There you go. Thank you. Today, I want to talk to you for a minute about, as your job as city secretary, obviously, your scope is very wide in the city. For the first time, I guess, in a while, we've had two new city council members, even though one has served before, but... If you're off the council, there's a lot of things that could happen while you're gone. Basically, what does the city do to bring a council member up to speed?
Well, I always tell candidates that it takes about a year as a council member to get your feet on the ground. Many years ago, we had a charter review commission composed of a lot of our citizens who recommended to the citizenry changing our term length from 2 years to 3 years because they felt like it takes a year to get your feet on the ground as a newly elected official. There is a lot to learn. And before you know it, here you are having to run again. So that was the main reason we went to three-year terms. But there is a lot to learn. And I explain to candidates all the time, it's going to take you a year to feel like you've got your feet on the ground. Once you go through that first budget process, which is a several-month-long process, and once you've had a chance to participate in the CIP process, that's a lot of it. But what we do is the city manager, the city attorney, and I sit down with all the candidates right before the election. We have a several-hour-long orientation session where we go over practically everything. When they come in and file, I hand them a ton of documents, flash drives, and things like that to let them get started doing some critical reading. Then the three of us spend a few hours with them going, the city manager covers the budget, how capital improvement projects are identified, how the city basically functions. City attorney and I talk a lot about rules, laws, and how things have to be done. So we do that. We do that right before the election because we feel like it gives them a chance to be a better candidate and also to be ready to hit the ground running.
Or drop out of the race.
At that point, they ought to be scared.
Yeah, right.
Of course, immediately after the election, we do the open meetings training between the city attorney, the city auditor, and I. We do Texas Open Meetings Act training, Texas Public Information Act training, Texas Conflict of Interest laws made easy, if you will, go over the city council's ethics policy, I know that Dr. Barfneck, our public works director, spent quite a bit of time with a new council member going over CIP and how that's handled and maintenance and those types of things. Joey Dunn took one of the new council members on a tour to the city facilities. But, you know, it's just going to take time. So we're there. We're there for any kind of questions. But we do have several processes we go through. But, again, I'm going to tell you, just as long as I've been in the business of working for a local government, which is running on 34 years now, mm-hmm. it takes time when you're a newly elected official to get your feet on the ground. There is so much to learn.
Marilyn Strada joined us this morning. Now, you've had state, national, and international leadership roles when it comes to city administration. Tell me, over the last maybe 3 or 4 years with social media and the internet, how has that job necessarily changed?
Well, it's changed a lot. You know, people, somewhere along the line, citizens became customers, and citizens and customers want to be informed immediately. And, you know, we use social media quite a bit, probably not as much as we should, something that we're concentrating on at the city. But in terms of city communications, it's critical, you know, especially when we have a power outage and that type of thing, icy roads, things that people, we want them to be aware of. We've gotten where we sure like to tweet, that type of thing. Is that where you were headed?
Yeah, but also from the standpoint of legislatively. I mean, now mm-hmm. people want action right now. And again, mm-hmm. your street light's out, you got a pothole, mm-hmm. you got a broken water line. Obviously, the city's going to respond to those mm-hmm. things. But all it takes, and we've seen it maybe more in College Station than in Bryan, as you have neighborhoods who get angry about, mm-hmm. in that case, mm-hmm. students living there, mm-hmm. whatever that situation is, they are expecting government to move more quickly legislatively, it seems.
Well, that is true. And unfortunately, as you know, government doesn't move very quickly. We have a lot of rules and restrictions. For example, our city charter that our citizens adopt, it is our constitution, sets out that ordinances require two readings, and they can't be done at the same meeting on the same day. So it takes a while for us to get an ordinance adopted, and then if there's notice provisions that the law requires you to have before, and a lot of them do, that's a good 21-day process. You have to publish, you have to mail. You know, they make us run things in the newspaper still. And
which is interesting.
Yeah, that's a whole other story for another day.
Right.
And then by the time we, you know, meet the Open Meetings Act posting requirements and have two meetings, and then if the ordinance carries a penalty provision, then we have to publish it again. So, you know, it takes a while, and it seems very archaic, and in some ways it probably is. But, you know, we've got to have a group of citizens that are willing to change that charter to one reading of an ordinance, and things would move a lot quicker in Bryan. And I'm not sure that's a good thing, mm-hmm. because when you have two readings, it gives your citizens double opportunity, if you will, to get in front of that council. It gives them a longer time period to have input. So it's good in some ways, Scott, and in some ways it's not. But we want our citizens to be informed and involved.
Yeah. Well, the Record case is a perfect example, because quite honestly, I mean, I'll say it because you might not, sometimes people don't pay attention. And if you only had one reading, mm-hmm. it could be out the door before anybody had a chance to feel like they got to have their day in front of council.
That's absolutely right. You know, they know that it's an ordinance is going to have two readings. You may miss the first one, but it's going to happen again, and you'll have a chance to speak to the council. It gives you time to send a letter to the council, make a phone call to a council member, that type of thing. It does add on, so it's got its good points. But then we have people that really would like to see an ordinance get through quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we get it both ways, and it's understandable depending upon what it is.
So now the state organization, what's the official name of the...
Your
group of city secretaries, I guess?
Yeah, the Texas Municipal Clerks Association.
Okay. So now, how does that body act? Does that body speak to the legislature? Does the legislature come to y'all? How does that work? Because if those guys and gals want to stay up to speed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the state association is a 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of city clerks across the state are involved in the legislative process, but we do it independently. We don't do it on behalf of the state association. Now, the international association I was president of, we're a 501c6, and we do have a legislative committee. and we do weigh in on some things. But of course, Brian, we're active legislatively. I co-chair the Chamber Legislative Committee. It's important that our businesses be healthy, but you got to have a healthy community, a healthy infrastructure, if you will, a governmental infrastructure. So I think it's wonderful that the Chamber allows the two cities to be a part of that process, because if it's good for the city, it's good for the businesses.
Sure. Laura Schlesinger used to be on, and she would give her Dr. Laura magic wand. So if I gave you a magic wand today to make the process better for, if the legislature were to do something in Austin to make your life easier, what would that necessarily be?
Oh, my goodness.
You suddenly have this power.
Can I keep that wand?
It's probably right. Yeah.
Gosh, there's a lot of things we would like to see changed at the state level. Certainly, you know that the city just adopted the Credit Access Business Ordinance, and following in the footsteps of several other cities across the state. That was a dream of Ronnie Jackson. He wants to see folks that are not banked become banked. Mm-hmm. Go to a bank or a credible business and do your business there. And we just want folks to understand there's alternatives to, 500% in interest rates and fees. And we want to help our families be financially independent, mm-hmm, and responsible and know what they're doing. And so there's financial literacy courses available locally. But I think if the one thing we would like to see in this next session would be state legislation that would impose statewide regulations over those types of businesses where individual cities aren't doing it and individual cities getting sued. I think it would make a difference. Yeah. And that is something that we are going to be looking at this next go-round. As a matter of fact, I already have a notebook ready for Representative Cassell, Representative Rainey, and State Senator Schwertner that I'm going to be taking to them very soon to give them a little bit of background.
Well, kudos to both cities for moving so quickly to at least get a stance. But you're right, you need to be protected. You don't want to be standing alone in a situation, mm-hmm, like this. And you're right, the legislature needs to do that, because these are people who don't necessarily know what their rights should be, and it's an unfortunate situation. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I appreciate just that overview stuff. What do you have for us this morning?
Well, I did want to remind folks about the Fire Department Memorial. Mm-hmm. It will be Saturday at 4 p.m. in front of the Clara B. Mounts Library in historic downtown Bryan. The fire department's going to have a memorial ceremony to commemorate the Knights of Columbus Hall fire, which will be 1 year ago Saturday.
Okay.
And they're going to lay a memorial wreath and dedicate the memorial wall. And then there will be a procession led by the pipes and drums to downtown Bryan, I think to the Murphy's Law area. And Independence Harley-Davidson riders are going to be there and participate, and we're excited they're coming. They've been wanting to participate in something to honor the firefighters a long time, and I think that's really lovely of them to want to be a part of it. And the public is invited.
Right, and I think the weather is going to be nice.
I hope so. Yeah. And Drew Powers with the big event was supposed to be here with me today, and I think he got a little bit tied up somewhere. But
it's getting to be a busy time.
It's a busy time for them, and just wanted to remind folks, both in Bryan and College Station, to sign up for the big event. I signed up for the first time ever. I've never done it before as an individual, mm-hmm, and my husband said we're going to have 12 Aggies at our house that day, and I'm so excited he's excited because his honey-do list just got a lot shorter.
He'll roll the laundry list out and say this is where we need it. But it's a great give back from the university that those people will come out and spend a half day out there making the community's more attractive.
Absolutely.
Okay, and they've got a website, I think, for that, too, that you can go to. Just Google big event, and you'll find it. Marilyn Stroud here this morning. Thanks for joining us for a few minutes.
You bet.
Okay, visit with the folks from Bryan on Thursdays, and our community segment is brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
Haven't heard from your insurance agent in a while? Don't know who to contact to get answers to your questions about coverage? At Van Dyke Rankin, they realize there are a lot of unanswered questions you might have with your current coverage, particularly healthcare coverage. Look them up. They'll calm your fears and make sure you know what you have and with whom. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Company. Honesty, integrity, doing it right. Serving the greater Brazos Valley area and beyond since 1936. That's VANDYKERANKIN.com.
Weak economic data. This is the Dow Jones Money Report. I'm Jeff Bellinger. The latest snapshot of the job market points to some weakness. The Labor Department says 339,000 workers signed up for unemployment benefits last week, 8,000 more than the previous week. And new Commerce Department data on retail sales are weaker than expected. Total sales fell 0.4% last month. With auto sales excluded, sales were unchanged in January. Stock market futures are sharply lower ahead of the Thursday session. A proposed mega merger in the cable industry is sure to get a lot of attention from regulators and consumer groups. Comcast has agreed to buy Time Warner Cable for $45 billion. If you have a Verizon wireless data plan for your smartphone or tablet, you may see a small reduction in your monthly bill. Verizon is easing into the wireless industry's price war by trimming the rates for some of its data plans. And Burger King has posted stronger fourth quarter results that beat forecasts. Jeff Bellinger, Dow Jones Money Report.
There is something about the road that beckons, that invites us to pack up the family and leave the world behind. And there is something about an industry-leading unlimited mileage warranty on a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz that gives us the freedom to do exactly that. You take to the highway, rack up the miles for up to 3 years, and drive with the assurance that your Mercedes-Benz is covered. You have the security of being in a car that has been certified to Mercedes-Benz standards, while you enjoy a carefree ownership experience for miles and miles. But while the mileage is unlimited, your time to take advantage of our certified pre-owned sales event is not. Now through February 28th, you can also receive complimentary prepaid maintenance and a 2-month payment credit on select models, plus 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. So hurry into your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer today and see why we say the odometer is there to record the memories.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
The Dow Jones Money Report is brought to you by ABC Home and Commercial Services, specialists for your environment. Visit abchomeandcommercialservices.com.
The Aggie Report is next.
For 20 years, the Learfield Sports Directors Cup has been recognizing the nation's best overall collegiate athletic program in each division,
men's and women's sports.
Each year, this award has remained the crowning achievement in college athletics, honoring the extraordinary efforts of student athletes and their institutions. To follow your favorite team, like us on Facebook, find us in USA Today, on Twitter at LS Directors Cup, or online. 2 decades of excellence. The Learfield Sports Directors Cup.
Texas A&M women's basketball team on the court at Reed tonight, 7 o'clock, Georgia, the opponent. Let's get back to baseball now. Olson Field at Bluebell Park. It starts Friday night, the season opener against Northeastern out of Massachusetts, 6:35, Saturday, 2:05, and then Sunday at 1:05. Coach talked yesterday about some pitching aspects of it. Today, a further comment on this 2014 Aggie baseball team from Rob Childress.
You know, positionally, two or three freshmen have been really exciting. Nick Banks. We've also got Nick Chorby out of Oregon, and also Ryan Burke. Those are three left-handed hitters, very good players, work extremely hard. And as far as junior college transfers, G.R. Hinesley is a guy that's been fun to watch. He's going to provide some punch for us in the middle of the order. Logan Nottebrock, a transfer from Temple, is a third baseman, right-handed hitter with some sock in the bat. And, you know, those are the guys that come to mind that are going to be able to, you know, pick up the slack and make an impact for us right away.
Texas A&M head baseball coach Rob Childress, tomorrow night, 6:35 against Northeastern. Olson Field at Bluebell Park. I'm Dave South. That's your Aggie Report.
If you or your loved one is considered homebound under the care of a physician and needs assistance with either skilled nursing or therapy service, call Thrive Home Healthcare. Aggie-owned and operated, Thrive Home Healthcare provides an excellent, cost-effective medical care alternative for patients and their families. Thrive serves the 9-county area, including offices in Brenham, Belleville, Burton, and Hempstead, and has on-call nursing staff available 24 hours a day. Thrive Home Healthcare, helping others thrive. Call 846-1213 for qualifications and more information.
Erasing tainted water taboos. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. Many parts of the U.S. already face frequent droughts and scarce drinking water, and the situation is expected to get worse. Recycling water is one solution, and scientists already have the ability to make wastewater cleaner than bottled spring water. The problem is, no one wants to drink it. University of Miami graduate psychology student Julia Wester wants to change their minds.
So what we're doing now is trying to increase people's willingness to use water that's been recycled and decrease that disgust reaction.
She's found that women and socially conservative people of both sexes have the highest level of disgust at the idea. But she's also found that the disgust goes down as they gain familiarity and especially direct experience with recycled water, suggesting that even strong contamination taboos can be overcome. I'm Bob Hershon for AAAS, the Science Society.
Dayhill, a Xerox company, is the leader in business solutions for over 20 years. We're more than just copiers. Let the Dayhill team help you create document and content management in a safe and secure environment that will store and retrieve your important data quickly. Whether you're looking for copy equipment, managed print services, IT solutions, or fax and scan services, let the local Dayhill sales team help you find the perfect solution with our Dayhill 360 assessment. Local service, local sales, local knowledge is Dayhill's customer service commitment to you. Contact Dayhill locally today, 774-2200, or at dayhill.com.
WTAW News Time is 8:30. It's 41 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Good morning, I'm Patrick Zeinert. Brazos County commissioners are considering their first application of a salvage yard since new regulations were passed last year. A public hearing was held 2 weeks ago on an unlicensed vehicle crushing business. County Judge Dwayne Peters says the Sheriff's Office and the Road and Bridge Department are investigating.
They're aware now that they are not in compliance, and so we continue to monitor the situation out there.
The operation, located on Chick Lane just outside the West Bryan city limits, is across the road from a proposed park that's part of the site where more than 600 homes are planned to be built.
And that's one of the things that you can't put a salvage yard within a certain number of feet of a park. And although it's not a park yet, it is platted to be a park. So, I mean, those are all things that the Commissioner's Court takes into consideration when we decide whether that permit will be approved or not.
Peter says final action on the applicant's request for a salvage permit will take place in the next few weeks. The Ryan School Board has been asked to add a $50,000 administrator whose job would be finding ways to save on energy costs. The district's operation manager, Steve Peterson, made the pitch for what he called an energy sustainability specialist.
It will reinforce our image as a good community and corporate citizen, and it will demonstrate to our taxpayers that we're doing our best to efficiently use their tax dollars that they contribute to Bryan ISD.
One of the responsibilities is collecting all the data where and how electricity and natural gas is used throughout the district.
This person would be responsible for building and maintaining this big data pile of all our utility use. They would go to the campus and present programs and curriculum ideas that could be used to emphasize energy savings in the schools.
Bryan ISD's energy bill is estimated at $250,000 each month. How much could be saved was not brought up during this week's presentation. The school board took no action. As A&M officials look to establish a branch campus in Nazareth, Israel, the A&M College of Liberal Arts is co-sponsoring an international conference of an organization supporting a boycott of academic institutions in Israel.
A&M had no comment about the boycott or participating in the conference, which was originally reported by the Austin American-Statesman. It involves the Native American and Indigenous Studies Association, which, according to their website, is protesting the illegal occupation of Palestinian lands and the legal structures of the Israeli state that systematically discriminate against Palestinians. Online at WTEW.com is a link to the boycott declaration. The Statesman reports UT President Bill Powers has denounced the boycott as an attack on academic freedom. UT has also contributed $15,000 to the conference, which will take place at the end of May in Austin. Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
An attack in College Station Tuesday night left a woman with a broken bone and deep cut on her face. Police responded to a disturbance on Texas south of Brothers. The victim told officers she was struck in the face with a 6-inch serving bowl, which broke after making contact. The woman was taken to a local hospital for treatment of the injury. Police say the victim's boyfriend, 25-year-old Mario Yax of College Station, turned himself in Wednesday and was arrested for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Upcoming national elections this year and in 2016 played a role in this week's passage of raising the federal debt ceiling. Congressman Bill Flores of Bryan says the Senate would have blocked any conditions the House would have added, including spending cuts in the Keystone XL pipeline.
Harry Reid would have just blocked it, and then you'd have a government shutdown, a credit default, and you'd have a replay of what happened the first 16 days of October when Republicans lost huge amounts of credibility. And If it hadn't been for Obamacare, we would have lost the House next November, and we would have never gained the Senate, and the opportunities to regain the White House in 2016 would have been diminished.
Flores voted against the law raising the debt ceiling through this time next year. A reminder that when early voting begins next week for the March 4th primary, to have a photo ID. That requirement remains technically up in the air due to a federal lawsuit, but the judge is considering a delay in starting the trial until after the general election in November. Those who filed the lawsuit want to keep the start in September in hopes of blocking the law. The Justice Department wants more time to prepare for the trial. WTAW News Time is 8:34. It's 41 degrees. More news at noon or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Patrick Zeiner at Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
If you grew up in Texas like I did, you more than likely grew up in a house that had a gun. With that said, you know a little something about firearms. At least I thought I did. Hi, I'm Kevin O'Connor, and I'll tell you what, if you want to get a lesson, go to Gun Corps. Joel and Wu, the two owners, both have combat experience, and they show you more about guns than you ever thought you would know. And for me, the best part is they do it without making me feel stupid, because you don't want to go in there thinking you know something and then find out you were completely wrong. Dad may have had a gun, but he doesn't have guns like you're going to find at Gun Corps. To find out more, go to gun-corps.com.
Howdy, this is Levi Douglas. If you're looking for a new truck, come to Douglas Nissan to check out the full-size power and utility of the Nissan Frontier. We have new 2013 Nissan Frontier S King Cab automatic models starting at just $18,995. We have over 10 Frontiers in stock, so come out today for a test drive before they are gone. See why we're home of the nice guys at Douglas Nissan, off Highway 6 in College Station.
Offer plus TTNL includes 500 customer cash and 500 in MAC captive cash. Must finance with MAC to receive captive cash through this price. Stock number 315023149931386.
Chocolate. I mean, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, right? You know that chocolate is high on the list. Well, how about the Chocolate Gallery in downtown Bryan for chocolates that I'm going to say probably you haven't experienced before anything like this, if you've never had anything from the Chocolate Gallery, because these are handmade chocolates and handmade pastries, and it's found right there in the heart of downtown Bryan. Everything is made from scratch at the Chocolate Gallery. You will not find any artificial flavors. So the flavored chocolates that you have, that's the real deal. They do designer cookies and cupcakes. The cupcakes, they do champagne and strawberry cupcakes, dark chocolate and raspberry cupcakes, and red velvet cupcakes. In addition, they do bonbons, they do truffles, they do bars, they do caramel corn, toffee, marshmallows, yes. And the marshmallows are flavored. And yes, that sounds spectacular. That's right there. You can find it, too, at the Chocolate Gallery. Now, pre-order, if you want to, you can call or really just walk in. And I do want to let you know that also, even on Saturday after Valentine's Day, they'll have some things for you to get. Let me mention, too, look around while you're there. Of course, they have the glass walls, as we've talked about, and so that you can actually see what's going on. But if you want to have an event there, you can certainly bring the event to the Chocolate Gallery. Find out more about that while you're there. You can stop in and see them. They're at 211 North Main in downtown Bryan. Phone number is 779-2804, or visit the website. That's bcschocolategallery.com. Here's our weather. It's sponsored this morning by the folks at Brazos Bounty. Somebody new comes to town. They're offered information on businesses. Get your business there first. Be an early bird. Go to BrazosBounty.com.
High pressure will continue to work its way across the state. We'll end up with mostly sunny conditions today and milder afternoon highs. Should be close to 60 degrees. Tonight clear. Temperatures won't fall back as far as they have been this week. 40 to 45 overnight. It'll be sunny and close to 70 tomorrow. Tomorrow night clear, 40 to 45. More mild weather in the forecast for Saturday. Sunshine with temperatures again around 70. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
There you go. So enjoy that. It's 8:38. Okay, stuff you didn't know about Valentine's Day. It is not a Hallmark holiday. It is not. Hallmark did not create this to sell cards. In fact, you can actually go back and find the decorations back as far as 1537. 1537.
Wow.
Yep. Sounds like military time.
Yeah. Ladies in medieval times who were looking for a suitor come Valentine's Day had an interesting tradition. So they could dream of their future spouse, women would spend the evening eating bizarre foods in hopes of seeing the one that they were meant to marry in their dreams. Just saying. I don't know. If you're missing your honey on Valentine's Day and you want to say hi on the telephone, thank Alexander Graham Bell. Did you know it was on Valentine's Day in 1876 that he applied for the patent for the telephone?
Interesting.
And John Cadbury, okay? He was a coffee and tea shop owner in Birmingham, England, discovered that chocolates would be a pretty good deal for him to go into, so he did in 1822. His son, Richard, packaged Cadbury chocolates. Of course, they're the ones who make those little egg things now. I don't know what's inside that milk chocolate egg, but I know it's not healthy, and I know it tastes really good. You know? It's the, like, egg yolky thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're the first people to do a heart-shaped box for chocolates.
Oh. Yeah.
Oldest Valentine? Actually, they say they believe there's one in the Tower of London. It was created in the Tower of London. It was a love letter in 1415. And have you ever heard the phrase, wear your heart on your sleeve?
Yes.
Legend has it, saying wear your heart on your sleeve began with a Valentine's Day tradition. In the Middle Ages, young men and women would pull out paper hearts from a bowl with a name on it and claim that person as their Valentine. The person's name that they chose would be pinned to their sleeves for a week. So, there you go.
Oh.
That's why you listen, so you can hear about stuff like that. Okay, so now, how did y'all handle Valentine's Day in school when you were, like, in third or fourth grade?
Cards.
Okay,
yeah.
But I understand cards, but how did you distribute or disperse them?
Brought them from home, okay. And not everyone got one because everyone was a girl, and I didn't like all the girls.
Now, so somewhere, how about you, Kevin?
Oh, the same thing.
Okay, so somewhere between my world and your world, that changed. Because in my world, going to school at A&M Consolidated ISD, everybody had a shoebox. Okay? And they lined the shoeboxes up on a counter in the back of the room.
Okay, we did something similar to that.
And you had to put a Valentine in everybody's box.
Nope.
Okay.
And I take it back. I do remember giving Valentine's to my guy friends because at that age, you know, mom was more responsible for Valentine's
right.
than I was.
Certainly.
But it was friends. Be okay. My Valentine.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is, you know, they were pretty generic then.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we would do. And so you would go to the store and you would buy, you know, like a box of 25 Valentine's or something.
And the little micro lifesavers, like 5 lifesavers in the roll.
Yep.
Oh, wow. No, I don't know about
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yeah,
it was like a quarter. You know, had the stack rolls?
Yeah.
This was like a quarter roll.
Or if you were lucky, Smarties.
Oh, Smarties. Okay. I know Smarties.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Okay. All right. So here you go. The latest gossip on the iPhone 6. And, you know, we talked a little earlier today about the box on top of the TV from Apple. And then we got the iPhone 6 thing happening. The problem is Apple's rocking. They're doing fine.
But you think?
But... when it comes to product rollouts, not so much. I mean, they're really not good at this. Am I wrong? I mean, have they knocked anything out of the park lately? I mean, since Steve Jobs died, you know what I'm saying?
No, the 5 was pretty big.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Okay. Mm. Anyway, insiders say that Apple will release 2 new phones, a 4.7-inch screen and a 5.5-inch screen. It's 0.8 inches. Come on. The new phones will be made out of a sapphire crystal, which is scratch-resistant material.
Huh.
It's almost as strong as diamonds. And despite the bigger screen, the new phone will be lighter than the 4-inch iPhone 5S. Well, don't you put the plastic thing on there? Don't you do
the screen protector?
Yeah, don't mm-hmm. you just
absolutely.
Do don't you just do that first? And I guess, once again, they're not saying what the price will be, are they? Yes, we'll know that sometime soon.
$4 million.
Yeah. Millions of Facebook users took a trip down memory lane last week. We told you that was the company's 10th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
In honor of turning a decade old, Facebook gave users the option of downloading a look back video that highlights the top moments.
Which was really cool.
Yeah. Nearly 200 million users watched the video.
I did.
That's about half of them. So what kind of stuff was on it?
They go through your post, and it's like you're the most responded to post of the year, the most liked post of the year. And
for you or for?
Your post.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So what other algorithm they had to set it up?
No kidding. When you're talking that many people?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really kind of cool.
Well, that'd be cool if you for somebody who like only tweeted 2 times.
Yeah. It's a short movie.
Well, yeah, your most watched one and, you know, and then your least watched one, and they'd all be the same, basically.
But they're posts. They're not tweets.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, it's Facebook. That's it. Yeah. Well, I'm confused. Well, I'm actually, I'm disinterested.
Yeah, I was going to say. Scott, I don't really fiddle with my bed a whole lot in terms of my sleep number. My sleep number stayed pretty stable at 65. I do, however, fiddle around with the pillow a lot because they've also got a sleep number pillow. There are so many sleep innovations you need to get involved with. You just need to go down to the store and check it out for yourself because Sleep Number is amazing. When I wake up, I feel better. I'm rested. And when you get out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, that is really, really important. Their exclusive dual-layer technology also allows you to adjust support for your partner that's different than yours. Each side is adjustable. It contours to your neck, shoulders, and back for more proper spinal alignment. And right now, as a matter of fact, the Ultimate Sleep Number event, the largest closeout event ever, with 50% off on Innovation Series limited edition beds exclusively at the Sleep Number store. They've got a location right there on Texas Avenue. It's kind of across from Kohl's and Chick-fil-A. Go in and check it out for yourself. Find out what your sleep number is by the interesting little gadget they've got in the store. And when you drift in, do me a favor, would you please tell them I said hey.
Hi, I'm Texas First Lady Anita Perry.
And I'm Dr. Kyle Janik, Texas Health and Human Services Commissioner. Flu season is in full swing and cases can be severe or even fatal, so it's important to get vaccinated.
As a nurse, I know how well the vaccine protects you from getting and spreading the flu. And if you have the flu, don't wait for symptoms to get severe before consulting your doctor. For more information, including where to get the vaccine, visit texasflu.org.
Protect yourself
and your fellow Texans.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. We're going to do this in the last half hour, but we didn't. A guy named Dale Hansen is the sports anchor at WFAA in Dallas and pretty much a legend now. Vern Lindquist's place, you know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he does a thing called Hansen Unplugged. This runs about 2 minutes, but it's pretty interesting, having to do with the guy from Missouri.
Smart.
It was quite a weekend. That little dust up in Lubbock Saturday night, and then yesterday, Missouri's All-American defensive end Michael Sam, the SEC's Defensive Player of the Year, and expected to be a third to fifth round pick in the NFL draft, tells the world he's gay. The best defensive player in college football's best conference, only a third to fifth round NFL pick? Really? That is shocking. And I guess that other thing is too. Michael Sam would be the first openly gay player in the NFL, says he knows there will be problems and they've already started. Several NFL officials telling Sports Illustrated it will hurt him on draft day because a gay player wouldn't be welcome in an NFL locker room. It would be uncomfortable because that's a man's world. You beat a woman and drag her down a flight of stairs, pulling her hair out by the roots, you're the fourth guy taken in the NFL draft. You kill people while driving drunk, that guy's welcome. Players caught in hotel rooms with illegal drugs and prostitutes, we know they're welcome. Players accused of rape and pay the woman to go away. You lie to police trying to cover up a murder, we're comfortable with that. You love another man, well, now you've gone too far. It wasn't that long ago when we were being told that black players couldn't play in our games because it would be uncomfortable. And even when they finally could, it took several more years before a black man played quarterback, because we weren't comfortable with that either. I'm not always comfortable when a man tells me he's gay. I don't understand his world, but I do understand that he's part of mine. Civil rights activist Audre Lorde said, "It is not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. We've always been able to recognize them. Some of us accept them. And I want to believe that there will be a day when we do celebrate them. I don't know if that day's here yet. I guess we're about to find out. But when I listen to Michael Sam, I do think it's time to celebrate him now."
There you go. It's Dale Hansen. Yeah, I don't know if I celebrate it. But, again, all that stuff he said.
John Stewart had almost the exact same.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you drag your girlfriend out of the apartment, down the stairs by her hair, but we're going to go ahead and draft you anyway, and you kill people in a car, and we're going to go ahead and draft you anyway. Sure. You're exactly the kind of role model that we want out there. Not saying that that lifestyle is a role model. I'm just saying, man.
But don't like men. Don't you do it.
Yeah. All right, here you go. A 10-year-old Norwegian boy who drove his parents' car into a snowy ditch offered a very innovative excuse to police. The boy, who lives in some brown, a few miles north of Oslo, puts his 18-month-old sister in a car, and sometime before 6 o'clock in the morning while his parents are still asleep, and sets off driving to visit his grandparents, who live, I don't know, probably about 40 miles away. Well, he drove just a few miles before veering off the road where he was found by a snowplow driver who alerted police. According to the story, the parents woke up, discovered that the children were missing, and that someone had taken off with their car, obviously upset, as you can imagine. The boy told the snowplow driver he was a dwarf who'd forgotten his driver's license. He's 10 years old. Pretty good. But he also said that the girl over there, 18-month-old sister, was his wife. Right there. Anyway.
That's brilliant.
They've gotten home. But I really do. I like that. That's good. I'm a dwarf. Well, he didn't say it like that because he's from another country. But anyway, I'm a dwarf.
He's either going to run Norway,
yeah,
or be in jail.
Something like that.
That's, one of the two.
Not bad. Tintel. Michael Jackson's dead. I don't know if you heard about that.
Scott.
But the tax bill lives on. Los Angeles Times says his estate owes more than $700 million to the IRS.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Uh-huh. The executors claim that his estate is worth $7 million. But the tax man says, nah, it's actually worth $1.1 billion.
No wonder we can't balance our budget.
Yeah, really. So that means that the estate underpaid the IRS and now has to cough up a 40% penalty. Biggest Boo-Boo's claiming that Michael's share of the Sony ATV Publishing, which owns the Beatles song catalog, was worth nothing. The government says, well, that's actually worth $469 million, which is
probably. How could they say it was worth nothing?
I have no idea. I have no
what
idea.
What idiot thought that was a good idea?
Well, they tried it, and they get to pay the penalty for it. CBS reportedly asking $500,000 from advertisers who want to put a 30-second commercial in the March 31st series finale of How I Met Your Mother. Daily Variety says the average price for that sitcom, usually in the neighborhood of about $170,000, but it's not unheard of to charge a lot for these kinds of shows. The Lost finale actually cost about $850,000 to $900,000 for a commercial.
Almost $1 million?
Really? Yeah,
wow.
For Lost. The last 24 episode was $650,000. The final Seinfeld episode, which I never saw, between $1.4 and $1.8 million, and the last episode of Friends, between $1.5 and $2.3 million. So there you are. And CBS, of course, milking the final episode. It'll be an hour long, followed by the debut of Kevin Conley's new sitcom, Friends with Better Lives. Is Kevin Conley, like, from that show or something? Do you know?
I don't.
I have no idea.
I've never watched that one.
There you go. All right. Company town used to mean a little bit something different than what it does now. So let's call it a one-horse town, but a town where you have a situation much like Detroit, where one company or one industry employs the vast majority of people who live there and what kind of problems that can be, that single employer. We kind of have that here, I guess, to some extent. With
it's changing a little, but...
It is. Well, but the thing is, it's also a state institution as opposed to a company. There's a difference there. But buying debt is what bondholders do when they invest into municipalities. It's how a lot of cities obviously can find funding for their infrastructure projects that they need, from roads to bridges to sports arenas and stadiums. Detroit languishing in bankruptcy court right now because of the length of decline of the American auto industry, because, I mean, that thing just went into a death spiral and was like that for a long time, and people leaving. Well, comes now these new cities that have other companies in there, and will it be a difference for them? Cupertino, California. 47% of the people there work for Apple.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's part of the Bay Area, and it's not cheap there.
Now, no.
Dearborn, Michigan, Ford employs 46% of the people who live there. Redmond, Washington, Microsoft, which is neither, 45%. In Northbrook, Illinois, Allstate employs 33% of the people who live there. Best Buy basically controls Richfield, Minnesota, with 31%.
We'll bet you they're nervous.
Uh-huh. Yes, not going so well there. Midland, Michigan, Dow Chemical, 26%. And Walgreens, 23% of the people living in Deerfield, Illinois, work for Walgreens. So companies that have a whole bunch of people living in their town, and that can make a difference. Okay, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue hitting the newsstands next week.
With a surprise!
Yeah, it's a Barbie doll posing right there alongside Heidi Klum and Christie Brinkley.
Yep.
According to the story on Ad Age's website, Mattel putting Barbie, a version of the black and white striped swimsuit doll, right there. You know, it introduced it in 1959. It's all part of Mattel's new unapologetic campaign. The doll will be featured in Sports Illustrated's 50th anniversary of the swimsuit edition, and supermodels from years gone by are being brought back to the new issue. According to Mattel, as a legend herself and under criticism about her body and how she looks, posing in Sports Illustrated's swimsuit gives Barbie and her fellow legends an opportunity to own who they are, celebrate what they've done, and be unapologetic.
There you go.
From Sports Illustrated's point of view, from its earliest days, swimsuit has delivered a message of empowerment. No, it hasn't. It's sold a lot of dang magazines.
It's made horny teenage boys excited about getting Sports Illustrated.
Howdy, this is John Williams with Allen Honda Pre-Owned. We are geared up for spring savings with all new inventory. Vehicles starting as low as $59.95. We carry all makes and models to fit your budget and lifestyle. Whether you're looking for a car, truck, or SUV, we have it at Allen Honda. Great financing available. Come see us today at Allen Honda on the corner of Southwest Parkway and Highway 6. Or call me, John Williams, 696-2424. For Allen Honda, visit us on the web at allenhonda.com.
Men who want to look their very best choose Sonny's Barbershop. Sonny's is a traditional barbershop offering cuts, shaves, and shampoos, but if you want an updated look or just some subtle changes, the pros at Sonny's know what to do. You'll know you're in a real barbershop the moment you walk in. If you're not going to award-winning Sonny's Barbershop, isn't it time you find out what you're missing? Be among those in the know. Discover the best barbershop in the Brazos Valley. Just go to Sonny's. You'll be glad you did. Sonny's Barbershop on Villa Maria, across from the Tejas Center.
Service after the sale is important. It's important in just about anything that you get, because you will need service eventually. Chances are, in whatever you're buying, unless it's a consumable, then it's gone. But, you know, windows fall into that category of something that could need service over time. And the folks at Intercon, a home-owned company, want to remind you that service after the sale is very important to them. How important? Well, it's so important that they believe that it sets them apart from a lot of window manufacturers, because a lot of window manufacturers, you call and you'll get a recording or somebody who puts you on hold and takes a while for you to get it to the voicemail of the person who you think might need to solve your problem. That doesn't happen at Intercon. You call them and you get to talk to a person who will put you in touch with a person that will take care of any problems that you have. So let's do this. You're thinking about buying windows from some company? Call their service department. Find out how that works out for you. Let you know that the folks at Intercon will answer your call, answer your problems, get it taken care of. That's service after the sale, and it's important to the folks at Intercon. Give them a call, 823-3639.
Margaret Meese is a dedicated public servant and attorney, and she does not use a cookie-cutter approach often seen in the judicial system. Instead, Margaret Meese analyzes each individual case separate and apart and evaluates all points, including the ones that are most often overlooked. In family law, it's difficult at best to properly weigh and balance the interests of the husband, wife, and more importantly, the children, to reach a win-win resolution. And Margaret has such an ability. Go to votemeese.com. Political ad paid for by Margaret Meese.
About 3 minutes till News Talk 1620 WTAW, a Scottish pizza restaurant. Well, let's stop right there. You think you can get haggis pizza?
That's because of haggis.
Haggis pizza, yeah. An employee there apparently threw out hundreds of pounds of dough. Papa John's employee. Problem is, the dough, which was raw, in the dumpster, in the back alley, started to rise. Very nice. A very nice dough. A passerby noticed these mass quantity of dough pushing up the lid and spilling out onto the streets. Tweeted the photo. Yeah, gotta like that. Responded to, thanks for letting us know about this. We're currently investigating this further. Investigating this further and more directly with the stores at Papa John's UK.
So. Now, what did you say happened to the dough? That
he dumped it in the dump?
No, but it went bad?
Well, no, it says raw dough. So,
okay.
Don't know why he or she necessarily dumped it.
No. What happened to the dough that it started coming out?
It started to rise. Yeah.
Rising.
Yeah, because it has yeast in it.
I don't know why. Yeah, exactly.
All right,
I thought you said rotting.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, didn't do that.
No.
Four players from Iran's national women's soccer team have been banned.
For being women?
Men.
For being men?
Yep.
Oh.
In defense, the four...
He's a man, baby.
Yeah. In their defense, the four female athletes are men awaiting reassignment surgery.
So they're pre-op.
I guess so. I don't know. Okay. How's that work out? All right. Let's see what else we have here. A video has gone viral of a rock climber scaling a 1,500-foot cliff with no net, no safety equipment, nothing like that. Hundreds of thousands of people have clicked onto the video of Alex Honnold climbing the face of a mountain in Mexico, managing to make it to the top in 3 hours with no harness of any kind.
So free climbing.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Did I say 1,500 feet?
Yep.
Wow.